Hello and welcome to the Up North Halo podcast. I am the host, Nicholas Eggdorf. Hope you're all enjoying the World Baseball Classic, all of the spring training games, all that. And we have a very busy show. Artie Moreno talked to Tom Verducci. He released an article on Sports Illustrated. I'll cover that in the first segment. We also have a little bit of World Baseball Classic news and even a little bit of Halo news to cover at the very end. So, real good show today. I might as well just jump right into the first segment with Artie Moreno, who has not talked to any of the local reporters like the Sam Blums, the Rhett Bullingers, etc. But he talked to Tom Verducci on Saturday, and there was a lot of topics that were discussed. This was a big article. It was for Sports Illustrated. If you haven't read it, I would highly recommend it. It does show a little bit of insight towards a lot of the questions we've been asking as fans. And I'll get into my tidbits that I took away from this. I'm not going to go in crazy deep into this, but I will cover each segment that's in there. So to start off with, Artie said he had three offers of over $2.42 billion, which would have cleared Steve Cohen's number that he paid for the Mets. There was a lot of big numbers, as he went on to say. And there was a couple of friends of Artie's, I guess you could call them. I'm not sure if he has friends, but a source near Artie said that he declined multiple of at least one, of $3 billion. So he declined a $3 billion deal to sell the team, which is, again, something we've wanted him to do. We still want him to do. But he later went on to say that he wanted to keep a hold of the team to some respect. He said, quote, "I was looking to hold a piece of the deal. What position? 5-10%. But that was pretty much what he wanted. He wanted limited control. Basically, he still wanted to sell a majority of his ownership to whomever. Yeah, he also talked about when he bought the team, and he said, when I bought it, Disney had never made any money. So when I bought the team, everybody thinks I got this really great deal, but I was the high bid. It's something that a lot of people tend to forget, which is true. Disney did not make anything really remotely close to a profit. But he did turn this team from nothing into a powerhouse profit machine pretty quickly by using all of Disney's drafting and all their players before they ran out and then everything went down the shitter. But that's neither here nor there. So Artie did make a lot of money off of this regardless of how much he spent to start out. It was only like $163 million, I believe, if I'm remembering off the top of my head, but still not insane for the difference of what it is now versus what it was then. But the topic of the luxury tax came up, and as we all know, during the CBA, he was one of only four owners to oppose raising the luxury tax, along with Ken Kendrick of the Diamondbacks, Christopher Illich of the Tigers, and Bob Castellini of the Reds, who are among three of the most hated owners by their fan bases. So that tells you all you want to know about Artie Moreno, who he is alongside with when it comes to who's on his side. And yeah, that's not great. But he said in his defense to why he voted the way he did, he said, "I'm not going to vote for something if I don't believe it's the right thing to do." He followed that up by giving an example, like if you were playing a card game and it's $1,000 buy-in, and if one player only pays $100 to the hand, how many hands can he play? Not very many. So he's basically crying wolf that, oh, I have no money. I can't compete fairly versus everybody else. Well, you're Artie Moreno. You own a baseball team. Man the fuck up and put your money where your mouth is and just do it. Just that is one of the most obscene arguments you could have possibly made. You basically said, I'm poor. Pretty much, and want people to feel sorry for you. Yeah, that is not going to happen. What are you doing? That is just an absolutely horrid argument to make. But this part of the article is probably my favorite from here till the end. And this was a big one right here. This was the piece about Trey Turner. He was a free agent this offseason, and he signed that mega deal with the Phillies. Good for him. Way to get the bag. But he was one of the primary targets for the Angels. We had a need at shortstop and arguably still do. But again, neither here nor there. But Artie wanted Trey, and he said, what if we just get Turner? What about him? Is this what we need? And Perry's response to that was, we have multiple needs besides Turner. Hey, we can spend this money on 2 to 3 players. And eventually, Artie eventually gave in, I guess, because Trey Turner is not here. And we spent $85 million on Tyler Anderson, Brandon Drury, Carlos Estevez, Matt Moore, Hunter Renfro, and Gio Urshela were traded for, the latter two. And still low risk, high reward options, because you're not putting all your eggs in one basket and putting the weight of the world on Trey Turner's shoulders, similarly to how you did that to Rendon. And look at how that worked out. All the pressure of the burden of performance that he needed to maintain, and he couldn't do it because he couldn't stay on the field. And look at the spite that is thrown his way to this day. People hate Rendon. I personally don't. I want to give him at least one more year, see where it goes from there. But there is so much of a burden of performance on a core 4 guys: Trout, Otani, Rendon, and if you signed him, Turner. So if you did that, you would be relying on those 4 people and whoever the hell else you can find. But if you do this and you spread the wealth around, you make it a little easier to handle an injury or poor performance at times, where if you need to sub a guy out because he's batting 100 in the month of June or something like that, you can replace him with quality depth. And that's how winning is done. So seeing that give and take from already letting go of the reins a little bit and letting Perry cook, I like that. That was a good segment that I was really glad when I read that. It showed that he is willing to take his foot off the gas a little bit. So that's always a very positive sign to see if you're trending in the right direction like we are right now. So that is great news to see. And we also had some Otani talk, which he did mention that they had about 5 real offers at the deadline for him. And when he was asked why he didn't get traded, Artie went on to say, nobody is going to give us 3 major leaguers or else they will have to empty the farm system, which is true. They want major leaguers or high-level prospects that are close to making the majors. So that is both true and also not at the same time. You're going to get 3 major leaguers from somebody, whether they're established or if they're just on the brink. A lot of minor leaguers can be considered major league caliber players with how they play in, say, AAA, AA, and be ready to just go straight into the majors. So you can't say you can't find 3 major league caliber players for Otani. That is an absolute lie, straight up. You can absolutely get that from a team. It doesn't matter how you get it. You could have gone to just any random rebuilding team that has 2 to 3 major league caliber players and nothing else. You could have gone to the Pirates and probably gotten something from them. You could have gone to the Reds and probably gotten something from them. You could have gone to even the Cubs, who were sort of fringe contending-ish, similar boat to where you guys were, but still, you could have, I mean, those are all NL Central teams. They just came to my mind first. But regardless, you could have gone to any one of those bad to mediocre teams and found something. Or you could have gone to the good teams and taken some of their mid to high level prospects that they don't need. You could have found something, is what I'm trying to say. Regardless of how much it's going to cost, you could have charged the moon and it still wouldn't have been enough. But he also goes on to say, how do you replace that? You don't. So anyways, he does lead into the contract talk afterwards. And Artie says, I think Otani has had fun here, which I don't disagree with. but he added as well, but he wants to win. I think he likes the lifestyle of Southern California, and he wants to win. Every player who puts on a major league uniform wants to win a World Series. That's clearly the goal, but still, that's obvious that Ohtani wants to win, and he would like to stay here, I would imagine. My own personal opinion, I think he does end up staying. I think he's going to get signed because Artie is going to give him whatever he wants so he can retain him. But he does mention this in the next segment with, come July, Artie said, I will say here on the record, we will not trade Ohtani while we are contending for a playoff spot, which, to be honest, is pretty much the equivalent of saying water is wet. But when he was asked about the same scenario, if the Angels are not in contention, he would say nothing more than we expect to contend. So that was a pretty big article. It covered a lot of topics. We have a lot of information to dissect from that. I think I didn't, I typed this up a lot and I tried to condense it into audio form a little bit. But yeah, it's a very good article. I would, like I said, give it a good read. There's a ton of information to be had here. It was a very enjoyable read, but it is a long read. So if you do have it, it'll take probably half an hour, 45 minutes, if I had to guess. But yeah, please do check it out. And moving on into some World Baseball Classic stuff. A lot of my listeners are American, and some might even be of Mexican descent too. So USA and Mexico are currently playing as I'm recording this podcast. It's 8 o'clock right now, so it's probably about halfway through the game, maybe around that. Anyway, but yeah, prior to that, the USA beat Great Britain and they've been on a bit of a good run. They look like they're in good form to make it into the quarterfinals. And speaking of the quarterfinals, Shohei Ohtani and Team Japan went 4-0 and beat Chechnya 8-2 to advance into the quarterfinals, where they will be playing Team Italy. I am so happy to see these guys go and move on after they won 7-1 over the Netherlands. My Italian boys clutched up and they got the W. Let's go. And I am so happy to see these guys win because they're such underdogs. They're probably not going to go further than the quarterfinals. I have a lot of faith in Team Japan winning it. I've kind of changed my tone on the Dominican Republic winning it. I think it might actually be Japan. I'm kind of rooting for them now until Canada and Italy are out. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But I'm not expecting Italy to win this game because it's just one and done and you're out. But yeah, even this is a great success for Italy. It's a great thing for the game to see them move as far as they did. Happy for them as far as they went. Dominic and David Fletcher, Sal Frelick, and a bunch of the other guys. Great job. Congratulations on making the quarterfinals to them and Team Japan as well. But I did want to talk about today's game between Canada and Great Britain because a lot happened in a very long amount of time, because this game took about 2 hours and we were only in the fourth inning. And this was a brutally long game. In the first inning, neither starter makes it out of the game. Great Britain goes up 3-0. And then in the bottom of the first, on the first pitch, my guy, Edward Julian, goes yard and starts a 5-run inning. And they go up 5-3. And just fantastic stuff. Never let their foot off the gas. But Great Britain had a ton of defensive errors. They were making mental mistakes, like throwing away from the plate so the catcher can't make a force out that causes a big inning. Just bad reads off the ball. Just throwing the ball willy-nilly and stuff like that. Just a bad game. And the Canadians sure did capitalize. It was an offensive showing. If you were expecting pitching and defense, you're looking in the wrong place. That's for sure. But this game ended up being about 10-8. And the game was never really settled in by the Canadians until John Axford, of all people, came in and he threw some nasty curveballs, getting some off-balance swings. But he came in here and threw 93 on the first pitch and was sitting 93, 94, and even ran it up to 96. At 39 years of age, the guy can still sling it. Way to go, buddy. Just dial it back when you need it the most. And just what a game by my next guy, who was a native of Burnaby, British Columbia, which is about 30 minutes of where I just moved from, where I've grown up, where I've lived my whole life. And that is Tyler O'Neill, who went 4-for-4 with a double, 2 walks, and 4 RBIs, and 4 runs scored. Just a fantastic game. And also, Freddie Freeman had a pair of hits and an RBI. Otto Lopez, a prospect with the Blue Jays, which is fitting that he plays for Canada, which is kind of funny. But he went 2-for-4 with a run scored and 2 RBIs. And Jacob Robson went 4-for-4 with 2 runs, an RBI, and a walk. The guys just came out and swung the bat. Just killed the Great Britain pitching staff. Lit them out of the ballpark. They won because of the mercy rule. So the game ended in the middle of the 7th inning. It was 10-8. But the mercy rule in the World Baseball Classic is a little bit strange, because if you're up by 15 or more, the game can end after the 5th inning. But if you're up 10 or more, the game only ends after the 7th. So after Britain bats in the top half of the 7th inning, the game was over. So no one had to bat in the bottom of the 7th, 8th, or 9th. But all in all, a fantastic game. Way to start out strong. Unfortunately, we have to play the Americans, so I'm not holding my breath too much for a win there. But yeah, they don't have an easy schedule, so I'm hoping they can at least grab one more win and potentially advance. Because in 06, I believe it was, when whatever the first season that this was introduced, which I'm pretty sure I'm right on that, the Canadians got bounced because of the tiebreaker, and hopefully having 18 runs scored helps. But still, regardless, I hope they advance. I want to see more Canadian and Italian baseball. Keep it going, guys. Love to see it. And I've got a little bit of Angels news to wrap up today, and there's not too much. I didn't want to get too in-depth. I'll cover most of the games on Thursday. I'll just do a longer episode on that, and I'll cover them in a little bit more depth. But Zach Neto, who made not one, but 2 insane defensive plays since I recorded the last podcast. He made an insane jumping catch against the Dodgers, saving a run. And just today, made almost a Jeter-esque run where he would go into the 5-6 hole. He didn't jump, but he just threw an absolute laser beam to first and got the out. Just what an amazing play, showing some incredible range, great reaction off the bat too. And Reed Detmers as well, had in his start, he hit 96 and 97, so he's showing a lot of good velo early in spring, which is really good to see, because if he can sit higher in the 90s, maybe even just sit mid-90s for a regular amount of starts, that'd be huge to have that as an even bigger weapon. So he's not relying so much on the soft stuff. He can just rear back and let it fly. And Mr. Ben Joyce, I didn't cover this when the USA played the Angels in their exhibition game, but Ben Joyce looked fantastic in that game. And even till now, me and Ben Joyce are currently tied for earned runs allowed. I think that might last for a little while, the way this guy's been going. So, yeah, I don't know how long I'll be tied with Ben Joyce in a stat like that for a while, but you never know. Could be all season. He might just not allow a run ever again. He just might have a 0 ERA until he retires. Who knows? But, yeah, fantastic stuff out of him. He's really looking strong. And we've got a couple of roster moves, and a couple of guys were optioned today. That would be Justin Garza, Colton Ingram, Jose Soriano, Michael Stefanik, and they were all optioned, and a couple of guys were reassigned. Luis Leto, Anthony Mulrine, Luke Murphy, Bryce Teodosio, Kenyon Jovan were all assigned to minor league camp. So that is all I've got for new news. But tomorrow's game will be played against the Mariners, against Robbie Ray, who will be taking the mound, and Tucker Davidson will be opposing him. And that is all I've got for today. I hope you enjoyed. I am completely out of breath, so I'm going to go drink some water and celebrate an Italian win yesterday and a Canadian win today. But most importantly, and only to you who care, go Halos.